Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for baby boomers, active retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be the safe and ideal way for all of us to learn and connect together in a virtual setting. Today's program is called Gratifying Communication. And we are so happy to welcome back for I'm not sure how many times, but we appreciate her every time she comes, Mrs. Faye Wilbur, LCSWR, Director of Community Relations from Mishkan, the Jewish Board. Every time Faye comes, we know that we learn so much from her and we really appreciate it. And it's so well timed with Pesach coming. So it's my pleasure and my honor to turn the Spirit Forum over to Faye Wilbur. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Hi, good morning. I recognize some of the names and some of the faces, so it's nice to be back. And any of you who have participated in my previous workshops know I have too many words on my slides. And the reason I do that is because I know the Rebbetzin sends them out to everyone, and I want to be sure you get all the information. So don't expect to be able to read it now, just know it'll be in your inbox at one of these days. And I want to start by thanking Rebbetzin Steinig for inviting me back. It is always lovely. And I really appreciate when I get emails back afterwards, if people have thoughts or questions or comments, it's lovely to communicate. So now I'm going to share my screen and we can start communicating. Okay, so this is called Gratifying Communication, and it is just perfect before Yom Tov. We spend time with each other, we spend time with family, friends, people we know, people we don't know, people we want to get to know, people we wish we didn't know, and we need to figure out how to do that well so that we can help ourselves and help other people. So one of the things I like to do is to outline so we know what we're doing here. So we do that when we communicate with people as well. So we need to know, what is the goal of our communication? Who are we talking to? We can be talking to people who we get along with, who we don't get along with, who we like, who we don't like. All of those things are really important. And we need to decide what's worth saying, what is important, and what is not. Many of you might know that phrase, to choose your battles. What that means is not that we're battling, rather that we're making decisions. We all get the opportunity to make choices. And if we don't make choices, then other people make choices for us, which is usually suboptimal. We're usually better off making the decision ourselves. So if we decide what we want to talk about and what we want to choose to overlook, overlooking is a wonderful skill to just not notice. It's important to remember that Yom Tov is 8 days. We are not in a long-term, let's all live together forever and ever kind of experience. We can all go back to our homes. We can go back to our comfort zone if that's what your home is. And we can plan. So knowing that it is a time-limited experience can be really very helpful for people as well. Also, we need to know that we might want to do this again. And if we want to do this again, we want to make sure that we're not burning bridges, that we're communicating in a way that people will want to see us again, that we're not going to end up having people say, oh, this was such a miserable Yom Tov. We don't want to be with this person again. And one of the things that I'm hoping we're all going to learn together today is to how to listen effectively, how to make sure that we're hearing people in a way that works for us, meaning that we really are getting the message, because listening isn't about good hearing. Listening is about taking in the message that the person is giving us. And if we take in the message and we listen effectively, then we can respond in a way that is helpful both for us and for the person giving us the message. So I thought I would identify what Yom Tov is all about. I'm sure I missed some things, but most people are either cleaning, shopping, cooking, and eating, or cleaning, shopping, packing, and eating, or cleaning, shopping, cooking, packing, and eating. You see a theme here? We're all doing the same thing over and over and over again. Some people are ordering. That seemed to out of the box, less stressful, so I didn't include it. Yom Tov is about the people we spend time with or the people we choose not to spend time with. Let's go back to the previous slide when we talked about we have choices. We can choose who we want to be with sometimes, and we can choose who we don't want to be with sometimes. Not everybody has the luxury of choice, and I know that. And choice really is a luxury, being able to decide what you want to do, what you don't want to do. Pick the choice that's less bad sometimes is what we do. Yom Tov is about unstructured time. So for a lot of people, that makes it very hard. Like on Yom Tov, you can get up, you can go to shul, then you have a meal, then you have many hours ahead of you, then you can eat again. But on Chol HaMoed, you don't even have the structure of having shul in the morning. And unstructured time for many people is a real stressor that they don't talk about. Some people talk about, oh, I love vacation. It's so wonderful. I get to do what I want. And some people think, I don't know how to fill the day. And planning is really very important. If you plan, you reduce your stress. Since this is spirit, many of you have chosen to retire. Some of you are pondering retirement, but planning is part of that also. How are you going to fill the day? So you can think about Chol HaMoed as, what am I going to do with all those hours? How do I want to spend it? How do I not want to spend it? Do I want to take a walk in the morning, afternoon, evening? Do I hate walking? Figuring it out. And then I hope that Yom Tov is also full of joy, simcha, and fun. We can't expect other people to provide us with joy, simcha, and fun. It's not their job. We need to create it for ourselves. It's part of taking ownership of our own lives and figuring out how can we make it pleasurable, less stressful. All of those things are things that we can do. We still have 2 weeks till Yom Tov, and we can figure it out, and we can change our plans. Remember, you can decide something today and tomorrow decide that sounds really stinky. You don't want to do that. All of you use computers, otherwise we wouldn't all be here together. So you can look online and see what's happening wherever you're going to be, whether you're going to be at home, whether you're going to be somewhere else. You can look up whatever city you're in. What are the museums that are going to be open? Check the hours, because they have changed because of COVID. Some have shorter hours, some have longer hours. Do your homework, do your research to make sure that you can create joy, simcha, and fun for yourselves. Okay, so relationships. How good are we at them? Introspection is knowing ourselves. What am I bringing to the table? How stressed am I? How do I act when I'm under stress? How do I act when I'm a guest? How do I act when I'm a host? How do I act when I'm at a hotel? I was talking to a friend who, for the first time, is going away to a hotel to a Pesach program because they got a great deal. And she said the most stressful part for her is figuring out what she's going to wear. She hates getting dressed up. She's one of these very casual people. She goes, but I don't want my kids embarrassed of me. So I have to make sure I look presentable enough. And so she's aware of that. And she knows that that's something for her, that's hard for her. It might be easy for somebody else. For her, it's hard. Other people think sitting at a table and making idle chit-chat is hard for them. For some people, it's hard to be a guest. So if it's hard for you to be a guest, ask in advance, what can I do to contribute? Can I be the person to set the table so that you know what you're going to do? Can I be the person who's going to clean up? Figure it out in advance. Don't be spontaneous, because that'll make life harder for you. So if you plan, you can figure it out with self-awareness, making your needs clearly understood. So if you need to know that you can sit at the end of the table because you are left-handed and you hate banging elbows with people who are right-handed, figure that out and say to somebody, you know, I am so much more comfortable if I am sitting there. It seems like minutia. It seems like something that's so non-important. But if you know what you need and you can make it clearly understood, it goes an amazingly long way. Accepting difference, the way you conduct a Seder is not the same as the way anybody else conducts a Seder. It doesn't mean you're right. It doesn't mean they're right. It means they're different. And being able to say, okay, this is a new experience. You might hate it. You might love it. Just accepting the difference will help reduce your own stress. Because if you're going to keep thinking, oh, this is not okay, this is taking too long, this is going too fast, you're going to be so uncomfortable and unhappy. Many of us on this Zoom are parents or grandparents or uncles and aunts, and we know that kids do all sorts of things, and we don't want to comment on all of them. So the skill of overlooking and choosing not to see things is one of those, as we say in mental health, it's a muscle we need to keep working on. So we can choose to see things and we can choose to not see things. If you're somewhere and you hate having leftovers, and the family you're going to serves the same thing at night and then the next day for lunch, and it is leftovers, and they have one new salad. Okay, so that's what it is, and figure out what you want to do about it. You're not going to say, oh, leftovers, I hate leftovers, because that is so unpleasant. You can say, oh, what a delicious salad. But you're not going to whine and complain about something that you can choose to overlook. Which goes to the next piece about, if you're spending time with your children and grandchildren, and maybe you think your children are too strict with your grandchildren, because we all know our grandchildren are perfect or pretty close, or maybe you think your children aren't strict enough. But it doesn't matter. You're the grandparents. So keep your mouth shut. If it's dangerous, it's a different story. But no, we all need to know our place. We're not there. We haven't been hired to be super nanny. That's not the role. So knowing what to say. And talking to people who have a difference of opinion. Everything now is pretty, confrontational, I think is the word that comes to my mind first. The concept of we can agree to disagree seems to be fallen out of favor. But you're going to be speaking to people who see things differently, whether it is about politics or religion or anything in between. you can listen. You can say, you know, I have a difference of opinion. You can say, oh, that's interesting. I had a wonderful friend who used to say, Hashem gave us two ears. It can go in, it can go out. You don't have to comment on it. You can say, oh, that's an interesting idea. Or, oh, I hear what you're saying. That's it. You're not agreeing. You're just saying you're hearing them. So if this was a hearing test, you've now accomplished the fact that you told them you could hear them. Okay, one second. What is communication? So it is not just babbling on and talking. Most of communication is being quiet and listening and noticing and being aware. So being able to listen to someone quietly is really wonderful. If you make eye contact with someone and listen to them, that is such a gift. And it will help you and it will help them, and your relationship will be enhanced. Talking clearly, straight talk, making yourself understood is really very essential. Something that some people have a hard time with, other people are much better at it. Some people can assert themselves and say what they want and need. Other people have a harder time, but it's something to be aware of. Nonverbal communication. Noticing how a person stands, if they look like they're becoming more anxious, if they look like they're feeling more uncomfortable while you're present and while you're talking, or while you're not doing anything. You can enter a room and sort of take the temperature of the room and see what's going on and see how people are managing with each other. If things look tense, you can choose to do something that might break the ice, make people feel better. Stress management and emotion control. So a lot of that is the tone and volume. I forgot to write volume. But how is something being said? The tone of voice, how loud it is, all is communicating. You know, lots of teachers will whisper if the class gets really noisy, because then everyone else has to be quiet so they're heard. Some people whisper as a way to control a situation, because then everybody else has to be quiet to listen to them. That can be effective, or it can make everybody else annoyed and angry. Trying to shout over other people generally just makes everybody louder and louder, and often leads to disagreements and arguments. So volume, when it keeps going up, is not necessarily the best way to get yourself heard. Rebbetzin Steinig knows that I like pictures, but she told me I have to be very careful about them because of copyright. So this one is okay. That's why you only have one in this. We have two, actually. But the verbal communication, again, you know, be a soft-spoken person. Not everybody is a soft-spoken person. So that goes back to being introspective. What kind of person are you? Sorry, one second. Are you outspoken? Are you soft-spoken? All of that's important to know. Avoiding distractions, as my cell phone sings on in the background here. But if someone is talking to you, pay attention to them. Don't start looking around the room and see who else is walking in and what else is going on. And maybe there's somebody that looks more interesting. That can be very hurtful to somebody. So if you're speaking with somebody, you should give them your attention. Pay attention to them. Don't interrupt the speaker. Now that is something that many, many people struggle with. Lots of people spend a lot of time listening and planning simultaneously. And by that, I mean they're listening to what's being said and they're also planning how they'll respond. Sometimes if you wait to the end, what you were going to respond with is no longer relevant, is no longer appropriate, and you might want to change it. So if you can contain yourself and just listen, it can be really very helpful to everybody. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So how to listen effectively, and we've touched on some of these things as we've been talking, or as I've been talking and you've been so successfully listening. Knowing who is speaking and what they might be dealing with. So in social work, we work with all sorts of people. And we need to remember that what a person says or what they come in with has nothing to do with us. So you might be speaking to someone and they are just saying hurtful things or being really grouchy and presenting themselves in an unpleasant, angry way. So don't personalize it. It might have nothing to do with you. You don't know what happened before they showed up. You don't know if they had a bad day. You don't know if they had an argument with someone. You don't know if they just found something out that they have termites in their house, or I don't know, something, you know, minor or major, but to them is upsetting. So knowing who they are, don't right away jump to the conclusion that their grouchy mood or their unpleasant delivery has anything to do with you. You can help them, hopefully, turn it around and become more pleasant, but don't make the assumption it's about you. Then see what they're saying. So sometimes it's what they're saying, and sometimes it's what's not being said. And knowing the underlying message of maybe they're not being so clear, maybe you're supposed to magically understand what they're saying, which doesn't work. But listen with your ears and your soul. We talked about not deciding to answer while they're still talking. And don't jump to conclusions. Like, you don't know what the end result is. So just be patient, which is not always easy. Okay, so some of the skills that we can work on to improve our communication and make both the communication and relationships more gratifying. So think before you speak. So we've all heard that since we probably learned how to talk. Not everybody does that. Some people just start talking about whatever they're thinking about, whatever's in their heart. And sometimes when you do that, you can really hurt another person's feelings. So slowing down, whether you're initiating the conversation or you're answering, just don't start until you've taken a deep breath and thought. I'm a big fan of telling the truth. I know that sounds like so simplistic, but people will embellish, people will alter. Dishonesty ruins relationships. So I'm not saying you should hurt people's feelings with honesty, but you should certainly find a way to be as honest as possible. Again, if you have nothing nice to say, then say nothing, or find a way to say something lovely. I included the respecting each other's viewpoint again, because it seems to be disappearing. So I wanted to really emphasize that, because lots of people view things differently, and that's okay. We don't have to agree with each other, but we also don't have to criticize and blame. If some of you took the vaccine and some of you didn't, that's your personal choice. We don't have to argue with each other and try to convince the other person that they're right. We're all grown-ups and we can make our own decisions. So respecting each other's viewpoint is important. Ask directly for what you want or need. Don't shout it. Don't scream about it. Speak clearly, slowly, thoughtfully. Again, figure out how you want to say it and what you want to say, because then you can get your needs met and you can make your offers in the same kind of way. letting others speak. So we all know people who monopolize conversations. You get together with them and they talk, and half hour goes by and they say, oh, and how are you? And then you start answering and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, I have to run. Okay, so you probably know this person and you know that's who they are and that's how they behave. So expect it. Don't be disappointed. Say, oh, here she comes. And I know that Sarah's gonna talk. And then she's gonna say, how are you? And it's over. So if you can anticipate it and let her speak, think of it as you've done a chesed. If you have an agenda, if you have something you need to say, you can say, oh, I called you because, or I came over because. That way you're sure you get in what you want or need to be saying. So people will ask me and they'll call me up. I have a little private practice at night. And people will say, well, how long do you think I'm going to be in therapy? To which I reply, I am not a nubby. I really don't know that answer. So I don't know, most of you on this Zoom, I'm assuming nobody out there is a nubby either. So you don't make assumptions. You can't assume very much. And double checking and saying, did I hear you correctly? Did you say that? I want to make sure I understood you. Is really incredibly helpful. Because sometimes we understand things correctly the first time, and sometimes we don't. And it's so important to be able to say, so is that right? Is that okay? Double check. It's better than putting your foot in your mouth or putting your foot in someone else's mouth. Being open about your feelings. Let everybody know what's going on with you. If it's okay to be cranky. We can all say sometimes, I'm not in the best mood. If I were you, I'd leave me alone. Give me 15 minutes. I'm going to go to do a breathing exercise. I'm going to do a visualization exercise. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to take a walk. When I come back, I'll be so much more pleasant. So that goes back to the introspection and to being honest and sharing your feelings. So here we go again with the good listener thing. There are some things I'm going to keep introducing because they're so important. And that's one of them. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be understood. So being a good listener is super, super important. And enhancing communication. So how we speak to and listen to others will be noted. And our behavior can be modeling behavior for other people, for the people we're talking to, for the people we're with. If you're sitting at a table and you're very quiet, people might say, Sophie, you haven't said anything. What do you think? And then you'll have the opportunity to have the floor. If you are the person who is always complimenting other people, who's always considerate, it will be noted. And then people might say, you know, I'd like to be more like that. Maybe I'll try it. Or she seems to get what she wants without yelling and screaming. That's an opportunity. Or look how nice he is to everybody. I'm going to try that also. So as you enhance your communication, other people are going to see it. And they might not overtly validate you, which I don't know if you need or not. But if you see them modifying their behavior, you'll know that it has been duly noted. Things we have to try to avoid. So don't be vague. Don't make declarative statements. The garbage full. No, say the garbage is full. Can you please take it out? I'm so tired. I can't believe it's time to make lunch. How about, I'm so tired and we need to eat lunch. Can people help me? Again, don't be vague. broad general instructions, take care of your children, doesn't mean anything. Saying, I need a break. Could you please clean up the toys? Could you please take the kids outside? I need a little peace and quiet. Be specific. People will hear that better and will be able to understand it. Obviously, calling people names or blaming people, you've been the same since you're seven, was something that one of my clients told me her mother said to her a couple of weeks ago. She's a 35-year-old mother of four. She is not the same as when she was seven. But the hurt that that statement made was monumental. Don't yell or threaten. Like, it didn't work. It never worked. So what's the point? Again, don't lie. Retreating and sulking. Like, why? You're miserable. Other people might not even notice. Like when people say, you know, I went to my room because I was so angry and nobody cared. Right? Because nobody knew that you went to your room to sulk and be angry. They knew you left the room. Okay, great. So you went to your room. And don't give people the silent treatment. You know, stopping to talk for 3 days. Like, really? Let's be grown-ups. Okay, skills we can all improve on. And I believe that we can teach old dogs new tricks. So they might not be new tricks, but we can enhance the tricks we know. And that's really, really important for all of us. So being available, meaning you're there. You're around. People know that you're the person they can come to if they want to talk about something, if they want to vent. Making space. So someone was saying they had many people at their Shabbos table, and at the end of the meal, somebody said, do you have a few minutes to talk? So they didn't talk with everybody there. They stepped off to the side and they spoke privately. That's what being available means. It means making time and space for other people when and if they want you. Or if you want to talk to someone privately, again, be clear and say, there's something I want to talk to you about. I don't want other people to hear it. When's a good time for you? When can we talk? That can be before Yontif. That can be during Yontif. That can be after Yontif. Making sure that you do that so that everybody knows what's going on. Being the good listener, you have to be really patient. If you are a fidgeter, so keep a rubber band on your wrist. And if you start getting impatient, play with your rubber band. People will think, oh my goodness, she's always so prepared. She always has a rubber band with her. What you're going to do with that, I don't know. But it's there. And it can be one of those things that you just use. Because you can't really walk around with a stress ball all the time. And focusing. So when we make eye contact with people, it helps us focus. And it helps us pay attention better. So the benefit of eye contact is for the speaker, they know we're listening, and it's for us to help us focus better. So there's a difference between empathy and emotional acceptance, which is why they're both on this slide. So, and sympathy is not the same. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone. Empathy is understanding their thoughts and feelings. When people say, I don't want to be a Rachmanis, that's when we feel sorry for someone. That's not empathy. That's sympathy. Empathy is we understand it's hard. We might be sad for you, but we're not feeling sorry for you. We're here to help you. And emotional acceptance is close. But there's a slight difference about it. It's more of a cognitive thing where we accept the reason why they feel and think the way they do, whether we agree or disagree. So empathy is really more of a complete emotional experience, and emotional acceptance has more of the cognitive and emotional connected between the two. So we're hearing and listening. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to change it. If somebody says, do you have an idea how we could blah, blah, blah? Okay, so you're asked for an opinion and then you can give it. But if somebody says something and makes a statement, they might just want you to say, that sounds hard, rather than, why don't you try doing it differently? Why didn't you say this? That's not listening. That's recommending, giving advice. And the good role model thing again, if you're gonna yell and scream and then other people in your presence yell and scream and you say to them, don't scream, well, they can rightly say to you, why not? You were screaming, like, what are you talking about? So remember, you're always being watched. If you've been with me, I'm a big fan of coping skills. We all need to learn how to help regulate ourselves. We're responsible of ourselves. We can't fix anybody except ourselves. So deep breathing is great. One that I think is very easy because it's multiplication is you inhale for 4 seconds, then you hold it for 4 seconds, and then you exhale for 8 seconds. Now, the first few times you try this, it might be hard for you to exhale for 8 seconds because you're just not used to that slow. So you inhale through your nose, you hold the breath for 4 seconds, and you exhale slowly through your mouth. You're increasing the endorphins, you're helping you breathe. If you want to teach your nephews, nieces, children, grandchildren how to do that, if they're little, you can give them bubbles. If you blow a bubble wand quickly, you don't get a bubble. If you slowly exhale into it, you get a bubble. So it's a great way to practice breathing exercises. Another fun way to practice breathing exercises is you can have cotton ball races. You put cotton balls on a flat surface. The person who wins is the person whose cotton ball moves the least. Because if we're exhaling slowly, it's hardly going anywhere. So that's another way that you can practice by yourself or with other people. Doesn't matter how silly you look, having cotton ball races all alone. Counting to 10, you can count to 10 as many times as you need to help yourself relax and calm down. It's okay. Waiting 5 minutes before you respond, react, or speak. Again, we started with make sure you think before you talk. So taking that time is really very helpful to you as well as the listener. You might choose to keep your mouth shut. You might choose to say something different. You might want to change the subject because it feels too hot at that moment. You might be able to say, right now, I just don't want to talk about it. That's okay. We don't have to talk about everything at the moment. So lots of people don't have feeling words. You can go on Google and you can type in feeling charts. And that there are so many wonderful options. And then you can find words other than sad and mad and glad. Like, we are diverse, robust people, and we have a lot of different feelings. And if we can label them, we can deal with them more effectively. So that's something you can give yourself as a gift. You can pack your feelings chart into your drawer, your suitcase, wherever you want, hang it on the refrigerator, and help yourself. You can share your feelings of frustration in a helpful way, rather than just saying, you're making me crazy, you're so annoying, I can't believe this. You can figure out other ways to say that so that it can be heard. If you say it in that hurtful way, it doesn't go very far. Someone told me that they were feeling incredibly frustrated and they just sort of said, I don't know, this is just not working for me. Can we try to think of something else? And it like turned the conversation around. because it wasn't you're making me crazy, it's this isn't working for me. When we use I statements and we own it, we're not blaming anybody else. And if we're not blaming them, they can hear us better. And then taking a walk alone to think can be helpful. I'm a big fan of walking. I don't care if you walk quickly or slowly. It increases your endorphins. You can look at the trees and the birds and listen to them. And you can look at the clouds. I'm seeing the clouds on somebody's phone, which is just gorgeous. I don't know where they are, but it's beautiful. So doing that, and that's a wonderful coping skill. If it's not yanta, if you can listen to music, all of those kinds of things. I didn't add the device techniques. Well, this was a great research study that I just read from Bar-Ilan, which of course made me proud that once again, it's the Jews coming up with great research. So the lead author is Liad Uziel, and it was all about choices and socializing. So we know how important it is. When we have choices, it's incredibly liberating. And the research done was about if we choose to be in a social situation or if we are put in a social situation we don't want to be in. So as we would surmise, and it was done on university students, if we choose to be in a social situation, we get more out of it. We have more fun. If we end up in a social situation, it's harder for us. It doesn't mean we have to be miserable. We can choose to make it positive. We can choose to have a good time. So if you are going on a Pesach program this year, you've never gone and you're going by default, not because it was your first choice. Okay, so you're going to be in a social situation by default. How can you turn it around and make it positive for yourself? Some of the reasons that they said that having the choice of social situation participation changes is because when we're alone, life is predictable and we can control it. And when we're with other people, we can't control the situation. We don't know what's going to happen. Some people really detest surprises. And when we're with people, you never know what's going to happen. Life happens. So knowing that is important. Also, think about when we share joy or happiness or unhappiness, if we're sharing it, if we're sharing the positive with other people, it enhances it. If we're sharing a struggle, it can be more embarrassing, it can be more humiliating, it can be harder to deal with. So I just thought this was so appropriate to come out right before Pesach. Rabbi Tzenheni Machlis had all sorts of interesting ways at looking at life. And when she was talking about Pesach cleaning, she had a different spin on it. She talked about cleaning our internal house, how we look at ourselves. What do we want to clean out? What do we want to get rid of about ourselves? Are we too angry? Are we too impatient? Are we too judgmental? How can we get rid of it? She suggested, and I loved it, that you write it down and you burn it with the chametz. Like, how great is that? You just get rid of it. And I know in New York, they have a day where people come and they bring all their, I think it's for New Year's, where people come and they burn their old resolutions or bad things that happened to them in the previous year. And yeah, you just really completely eradicating it. By cleaning house, we can also reconnect to Hashem. We can identify what we struggle with. We can ask for help. We should be asking all the time. Hashem is there. But this is one of those really concrete opportunities to do that. Pesach is an opening. So our mouths are our openings. I also think our ears are our openings. So what we say and what we listen to and how we hear it is important. And she talked about Shmura Matzah. So Shmirah is about watching. So we need to watch ourselves. We need to watch how we behave, how we think, how we present ourselves to the world. So Dr. Wayne Dwyer says, when given the choice between being right and being kind, we should choose to be kind. I don't think Robertson Steinig thought of this when we scheduled this for this week, but I thought how apropos that it was all about the parsha last week was Tazria and it was about Lashon Hara. And the Zohar says, just as a person is punished for evil speech, he's punished for good speech he could have spoken and did not. So Pesach will give us so many wonderful opportunities to say nice things, to find the opportunity to compliment, to praise, to be grateful. How we spin life, how we look at things is so in our control. There are so many things that are not in our control. And then we just have to figure out how to manage them. But how we manage ourselves and how we present ourselves is in our control. So I thought this was just so wonderful. And I wanted to wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I have my contact information there. I love to hear from people. I learn from every single person, whether it's a statement or a question. I love constructive criticism. I promise my feelings won't be hurt, or I won't yell at you if they are. I'll spend time to think about it. Robertson Steinig, thank you again for inviting me. It's always lovely to come to Spirit.
Well, and thank you so much for being here. I learned so much. I would love to say that we scheduled it with the Parsha, but it was Mazel, and it was more scheduled as being before Pesach. And I think you've given us all of us who host, all of us who come and are hosted, you've given us a lot to think about. And a lot so that we can hopefully do things much better than in the past. I think we're all learning. In the past couple of years, life has been so different. So I think we've learned how to be by ourselves. We have to learn how to be guests. And we have to learn how to accept our guests with God's help, we're able to have this year. So thank you so much. You've really given us a lot. Somebody did actually for a future program, somebody suggested that we do a session practicing all of these skills. So that would be something to think about for the future. Okay. And thank you so much for the person who suggested it. The person also asked, Faye, are you available for private therapy online or by phone, or is it just in person?
My preference is to sit with people, but depending on what's going on in life, it can be, I do Zoom as well.
Right. So basically, since we have an international crowd, that could work, you know.
It could work.
So Mrs. Wilber's information will be, of course, in all of, you know, in the recording that you get after this program. Are there any other questions? I don't see anything else for me. Do you have anything that came to you directly?
I don't see anything now, no.
Okay, well, I guess we are all ready and waiting to develop these skills, and in a future session, we can all talk about it and practice it. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody. As I had mentioned last week, this is our last session before Yontif. But with God's help, we will be back. Information should be coming about our first session in May, which will be the first one back. So just watch your emails. I was looking at the calendar and I realized that this past week we celebrated our second year of our Zoom Spirit program. So I thought that was pretty exciting that we've had, I'm not sure how many, I think over 130 programs we've had. Almost everyone, not since January, those are not archived yet, but anything prior to January is in the archives, which you're always welcome to visit. We always look forward to having people, and just keep watching your emails. I just want to comment, as you are giving tzedakah before Yontif, please consider the Spirit program. It's very much appreciated and it helps us continue. So I want to wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Be safe, be healthy, be well, and we look forward to seeing you afterwards. Take care.